Yes, Father, we do praise you for the good work you've begun in all of us. You have begun and you will complete it also until the day of Christ. Yes, we believe you. Take this conference to work in our hearts, to focus them all upon your goal.
Ja, lobe den Herrn.
Praise the Lord for another conference, for a new opportunity to open up to the Lord and focus our being upon His work that He's doing in us. This is a wonderful statement. It is a wonderful work, the Bible says. God does a good work in all of us. And He will also complete it. Isn't this a good news? Is it not good news that God will complete His work in us? This is the gospel, the good news. Right? Many think the gospel stops when you are saved from eternal perdition. And there is only a gospel for unbelievers. No, there is a gospel for us believers as well. A good news, glad tidings. God will complete His work in us. This is an important news we have to have in our hearts. We have to receive in faith that we may live in this reality. This is my point. During this time, we will have fellowship on the epistle to the Philippians. We will walk through this letter, this epistle. But we have a strong burden for this gospel as well. God put this on our hearts. God has a wonderful gospel, wonderful news for us and all men. And Paul was very glad of the Philippians, that they would fellowship in this gospel until that first day, until now. And they partook in the defense of this gospel, right? The gospel has to be defended. It is attacked. Satan tries as much as he can prevent, destroy, and blur this truth. Prevent us from speaking it. Frustrate us from believing it. Frustrating people to apprehend this good news. Although we need it so desperately, don't we? In this epistle to the Philippians, Paul consecrated all his life to this gospel. When he realized what a good work does, he gave himself completely to it. He didn't mind to be in prison. Even to die was not the problem to him. He said, I do everything, give everything for this gospel. He said, I'm doing fine, though he was in prison. He says, what concerns me is for the promotion of the gospel. He even praised his chains in the gospel in Christ to make more known of this message, because the gospel has one goal, to reveal the person of Christ. We will see that these days, and Paul also said this, everything is in Christ. It is not many different things, but everything is in this person of Christ. There are verses speaking of the gospel of his son, right? Romans. He speaks of the gospel of his son, right? In Christ, God gave us everything freely. This gospel, that is important to me today, comprises, encompasses everything for the full restoration of man, for God's plan. God not just somehow saves man, that they would not get eternally lost. But he has a plan with man in view. He had from the beginning when he created man. And the good news is, in this plan, he brings us all back. He found a way to bring back man who was so far away from this plan, restoring man. And I would like tonight to draw up a little sketch, a drawing to show how God restores us today.
Es ist für alle Menschen, deshalb beginnen wir mal mit alle Menschen, ja?
It is meant for all men, so let's start with all men.
Am Anfang beginnen alle gleich.
In the beginning, all men start equally at the very bottom.
Lass uns dazu Epheser,
right? Let's read as to this, Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 3. Let's see. Let me quickly start, for the time's sake. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Lord Jesus, this is the condition every man begins with. You are dead in trespasses and sins.
Wir kennen ja diese drei Kreise. Ich möchte die heute auch.
We all know, hopefully, these three circles. I would like to use them tonight as well. How to show how the Lord works and restores man. The outer part is flesh. Man became sinful in his flesh. The body who was created marvelously became the sinful flesh. And his soul thereby became the self, called self. It developed an independent life. Right after the fall of man, God said, man shall not become as us, realizing what is good and evil. Man no longer was dependent on God. He decided himself what is good, what is evil. He didn't wait for the verdict of God. And the innermost part is the spirit, which was dead. God had said, the day you eat of this tree, you shall die. The wrong tree, you shall die. And that's what happened. The spirit died. Paul therefore says in Ephesians 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. This is the condition of all men. If you look at this, you definitely will need good news. Because the outcome, the end of this condition, will be eternal death. Eternal death. If this condition is not changed, the verdict on all men will be eternal death. Lake of fire is the place everybody will go, as Revelation shows. If you will not have a good news for all men, don't you want to say something to all men? There is a way to come out of this bad condition. This is a responsibility we all have for all men. To leave this condition of death, you need a new birth. Have to be born again.
Wir können zu Kinder Gottes werden.
You may become a child of God. Child of God. Praise the Lord.
Und das geschieht durch eine Wiedergeburt.
And this happens by regeneration or rebirth. I prefer regeneration.
Ja, wir empfangen in der Wiedergeburt das Leben Gottes.
By regeneration, we receive the life of God, the eternal life of God. What happens with us?
Oh, ich sehe, die Tafel ist doch klein.
The blackboard seems a little small, or I have to draw smaller. So another three circles, describing man.
Ja. Die Wiedergeburt geschieht in unserem Geist.
The regeneration takes place in our spirit.
Dazu, hier kommt das ewige
Spirit inside of us is born again. God's life enters into us.
Genau, das
God's eternal life.
Den Vers dazu haben möchte, Johannes.
If you want to write down a verse for that, is Gospel of John, chapter 3, 3-6. Right?
Das ist Geist, ja?
He that is what is born of the Spirit is the Spirit of man. What is born of the Spirit is human spirit. So the regeneration takes place in our human spirit, terminating this condition of death. We are made alive for God. We rightfully may call ourselves children of God. But we will have to be aware of, as well as the remainder of our being, nothing much has changed yet. The flesh is still the flesh. And the self, we also still have. So this is not finished yet, right? If this were finished, then God's work of salvation would be incomplete. God could not be one eternally with such a man. Salvation has to continue. That's what Scripture says and calls the salvation of our souls.
Genau. Ja. Ich muss den Pfeil ein bisschen anders malen. Es geht nicht so steil, die Errettung der Seele. Es ist nicht so schnell.
I have to draw the picture a bit.
Dauert ein bisschen Zeit.
Lower, this salvation is not as quick as the arrow suggested. It takes more time. It takes our whole life. Salvation of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 says this is the goal of our faith. End or goal, literally goal of your faith. The salvation of your souls. That God can use us for His plan, we will need this salvation. Paul, in Philippians, several times uses this word salvation. Whenever he does, he speaks of this salvation of our souls. He speaks to the Philippians, that are believers. Sometimes I speak of believers and say, I need salvation, and they do not understand. Hey, they ask me, hey, you are saved, aren't you? Why do you need salvation? Why do you need to be saved? But Paul clearly says in Philippians 1:19, I know that this serves unto my salvation. And he didn't mean salvation from prison. Or from death. No, he says to die is gain. His salvation was, he was not put to shame, but with all boldness, as now, Christ be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. He wanted his soul would not shrink back, that he would go on in this salvation, that his self that is trying to avoid this salvation, he would give into death and receive Christ, that he would no longer live himself, but Christ. That's what he means by salvation. This is a higher salvation for us, Christians. Now I draw a three circles. Here now is the spirit in the middle again. Then you have a new soul, renewed soul. But you will still have the flesh. As long as you are in this body, you will still have the flesh. But the spirit from inside causes this renewal of the soul, spreading into the soul. And if you cooperate, then in the coming age you will receive a reward. It's written in Philippians, it's called in Philippians the prize of the high calling of God. Right? It's a prize for a battle. Because this is the way is a battle, a fight. The enemy is here as well, trying to take away our reward, distracting us from this way. So we have to be on the alert. It has to do with fight. We need a clear decision. We shouldn't be half-hearted fighting in this way. Then you have lost already. You see this in every world championship. If you're a soccer fan, you watch it on TV. You see how the German team won the world championship 2014. 2 years later, the strong will to win was gone and they immediately failed the tournament. I don't watch it. But if you do, you realize they fight to the last drop of their blood. And 4 years later, it doesn't count anymore. But we have a different prize. We have to see this prize. If you really see that, you will invest everything you have for it. You will fight. You will not be distracted. And you receive a wonderful reward. This is a wedding feast of the Lamb. And it's a rulership. It's a reign in the millennial kingdom. The thousand-year kingdom. And if there is a reward, there is also a punishment.
Ja, Herr Jesus, wenn wir dazu lesen,
if we read for this 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, which says, for we must all appear, maybe 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Just one example let me give. That is just one example where Paul speaks again to the believers. He speaks of himself and to the saints in Corinth. We all will be judged on the day of Jesus Christ. Right? So the Lord speaks a number of parables on this fact. Servants being punished, and the punishment is called the outer darkness. They're all cast into the outer darkness, the evil slaves. Don't mix this up with eternal death. Many believers mix this up. But the Lord makes clear right after the fall of man, if you once have received this life, you will not lose it. When man ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and sin entered into man, the Lord had to block the tree of life. Otherwise, this man will eternally live. If this man, after sinning now, will still eat of the tree of life, he will live eternally. When you have this life, that means you will never lose it again. It is His eternal life. Good news, praise the Lord. Are we children of God? You will remain such forever. But also, the children need discipline, need training, education. And if everything doesn't work and help, it needs punishment. If you do not want your child to become anyhow, somehow, whatever it wants, you have to discipline it. There is a verse in Titus, chapter 2, 11 to 12.
Denn die Gnade Gottes ist erschienen,
for allen Menschen the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That shows the grace has saved us and teaches us or disciplines us. This process here happens all through grace. Today is the age of grace. The time of grace. The whole training, the salvation of our soul, God does through His work of grace, right? Sometimes we think this is a different process because we also have verses like Philippians chapter 2 saying that we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So you may think now it depends on your works, your own works. I say, no, it is still through grace. It is not your work, it is His work. It is still a work of the Lord. Of course, we have to cooperate, but He who does it is actually the Lord. That's why, in principle, it goes on as it has begun. In order to be a child of God, you have to cooperate, open up to the Spirit, otherwise it would be automatic. But you have to open up. A man has to open up to the working of God, tell Him and say Him, Lord, work this in me. It is like, let yourself fall. Make a step in faith. Because you don't know what comes out of it. You don't know it yet. But that's similar with the salvation of your soul. It is something new, unknown, and you have to fully trust the Lord. Entrust yourself to the Lord. Lord, save my soul. I want to experience this. And it's again and again such a step. What you have gained from the Lord, wrought into your soul, you will realize that the Lord. You will realize this is well known to you. The Lord wants to go on. Paul, on this way, went on without rest. And he said, I will pursue.
Schon ganz ergriffen habe. Ich will mehr ergreifen. Ich will hier weitergehen. Ja?
And he said, I want to lay hold more, gain more. There are many things to know the Lord more. We have to be courageous in faith and say, Lord, I want to know you more. Every lack we have in us, whenever you test yourself, where has the Lord not entered in yet? It's all areas where you may get to know him more. Don't be discouraged and think, now I went with the Lord this and that far, and not more. No, you shall think, I can know the Lord better in this. My soul can be more filled with Christ. I have not reached the goal yet. And this attitude Paul had in Philippians chapter 3. From verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on or pursue that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, stretching forward to those things which are ahead. So I press on toward the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. He speaks to those matured ones. Another verse in Corinthians, Paul speaks to the Corinthians of those who are still little babes. You have not learned much of Christ. You still live much according to the will of man, to the will of the flesh. To them he couldn't say you have matured. But in Philippi, some may have been matured, may have learned already to give room to the Spirit, give the self into death, living through Christ. Do have this mind and forget what is behind and stretch forth to what is before. I believe also in the church the Lord has gained something. We are not all little children in Christ anymore. Many have learned to walk by the Spirit already, being in the process of the salvation of the soul. So this word also says, do have this mind and keep on pursuing Christ. As Paul, you do not think you have been perfected, but pursue, press on. Encourage one another to forget what is behind, even the good things you've experienced already. You may long back to those things, but also negative things you have experienced, disappointments, forget everything. Pursue now. The goal is in front of us. The Lord gives us the opportunity to gain him. Nothing should hinder you, no matter what I experienced all these years. Stretch now, I stretch forth to what is before. Paul wants to write into the hearts of the Philippians, and he shows by his example what he means.
Und dann vielleicht noch ein Punkt dazu. Lass uns noch
one point as to that. One more point as to that. Reading Romans 8.
Ab Vers 10 bis Vers 13.
From verse 10 to 13. Could you read that together, please? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Denn wenn ihr nach dem Fleisch lebt, werdet ihr sterben. Wenn ihr aber durch den Geist die Handlungen des Leibes tötet, werdet ihr leben. Herr Jesus. Ja, diese Verse zeigen,
these verses show immer wieder stehen, ja? Which decision we have to make again and again.
If you
live according to the flesh, you will die. The end will be death. Not eternal death, but even the punishment is a sort of death. But if you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So what are you focusing on? Do you give room to the Spirit or to the flesh? So depending on that, you walk the upper way or the lower way. You have to make up your mind every day. Decide every day. No one is a debtor to the flesh. Live to the flesh. Even this, if it appears so strong, the word says, I am not dead to the flesh. You can overcome. You can open up to the Spirit and say, Lord, do your work. The problem is usually that I try to overcome myself. If I think I cannot overcome the flesh, the reason is I try by myself. That does not work. Then I will be in Romans chapter 7. But when I turn to the Spirit, open up to the Spirit in faith, simply, it's a matter of faith, it's a faith again, then this Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. The body being tired, being slothful. The Lord says the flesh is weak, but this flesh then is made alive by the Spirit to serve the Lord. The Spirit is able to do this. I experienced this many times, I think all of us. That's why we do not have to give up in anything, surrender in anything. No. Go on. Say, Lord, your Spirit is able. I want to experience how your Spirit renews me, liberates me, restores me for your purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Und dann muss ich das mal kurz wegmachen, um das noch zu vervollständigen.
And now to complement everything, at the very end, you have in eternity future a new Jerusalem. And if you read in Revelation, what is this new Jerusalem? It sounds a little abstract. It means this is the place where God is one with men. God is one with man eternally. This city has the glory of God, expressing God. God made us one with Him. It is clear, if we today do not allow the Lord to enter into our soul and not live in the oneness with Him, we will not just jump into eternity just like this, be one with Him. God cannot build His new Jerusalem with Christians living in their self, not living with Him. He needs a time, this time, to bring the children of God that are not faithful today to reach this goal, full maturity. He will bring us all finally that to that point.
But
Paul had the assurance of for the Philippians that they will reach it before this age. That means until the day of Jesus Christ, before the millennial kingdom, not suffering a sort of punishment. God doesn't want this to punish you. He wants to give you the reward, to bring you to the wedding, marriage feast. It is, the punishment is only necessary if there is no other way. And that's why we should have why we should have fellowship with the gospel. We should help each other to get there. Our conference is a fellowship of the gospel, a mutual support, supporting each other. We can reach the goal. No one shall leave, go away from here and say, oh, I cannot make it. Then you have not apprehended what good news the Lord wanted to give you. The Lord wants to say, this way is for you, all of you. Paul, strong in Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, I'm completely confident, I'm absolutely convicted that of this very thing. We are convicted, we are confident that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then he says something remarkable, just as it is right for me, verse 7, to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Isn't this impressing? It's easy to say something like, Lord, bless you, everything will be fine, and then I forget you. Or I just somehow say it, because it's a nice sounding phrase. But Paul says that this is a strong statement he gives. He gives a reason. He says, it's right to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. He prays for them always. He intercedes for them. I was aware this service of prayer is so important. Paul did not have many other opportunities. He was outwardly bound. He couldn't visit them. He couldn't talk to them. He had no telephone, no email, even letters, writing letters was difficult. He could, but it was only a few he was able to write. But his service, his ministry was prayer. We see this in all the epistles. He spent his time in prayer. This prayer is effective. I can testify. This year I was very much encouraged how much the Lord answers our prayers. The prayer of the church, our personal prayer, the Lord hears and answers. Don't think your prayer is just a necessary religious exercise that you do it. No, every sincere prayer reaches God. Remember the story of Samuel. The people of Israel was in a bad condition, but repented. They turned to the Lord. They were in the battle with the Philistines. From the forces, they were much weaker than they, but they said to Samuel, please continue to pray for us. And Samuel cried to the Lord, and it said the Lord heard them, and the Lord struck the Philistines. They were really afraid. They got afraid, and they fled and escaped, ran home. The Lord gave the victory. No enemy is a problem to the Lord. The enemy is never the problem to the Lord. It is only, he is only given to us that we may turn more. The enemy came that the Philistines came that the Israelites would turn back. It depends on our heart. Is our heart ready to go with them? Then the Lord will complete his church. Part of it is we intercede for one another. This is the service, the ministry the Lord does right now. Let's read Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25 is this verse saying that. Let's read this in faith. Therefore, he's also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. Completely. He ever lives to make intercession for them. This is the priestly ministry of the Lord. The priest had a breastplate with 12 stones, precious stones. And on every single stone was engraved a name of one of the tribes of Israel. On his shoulder were also precious stones with the children of Israel engraved. He was supposed to carry them in love and the burden for them. The Lord is the true high priest. He prays for the whole people of God. He intercedes for you, for all believers. He wants to complete his church. He is able to save to the uttermost through this intercession. He seeks persons being one with him. Every prayer is precious. We make ourselves one with his priestly ministry for our completion. Praise the Lord.